We're definitely, I don't think we're going to be able to finish Torah Daled before Pesach. So the whole Torah is Pesach, Dick. I mean, the whole it's mamash the whole Indian. What's the whole Indian about? The whole Torah is about what it means to be zaycha to live a life that's me'en olam haba, that's Shabbistic. Nachman has been describing for us that the site of Olam Haba is the Rabbanu Shel Olam creating a world that starts with Dibur, but Lamaisa becomes a Malchus, becomes Olam HaSanifrodim, right? Everything starts in Atzilus, that's a Lakus, that's the Rabbanu Shel Olam's universe. And then the Diburim that emanate from Kiviyocha, from Atzilus, from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, that place of Atzilus, turn into Bri Yitzir Nasiyah, the physical universe. And Olam Haba means the physical universe sort of, deconstructing itself and returning back to that state of, to become unified in Atzilus, but in that state of Dibur. And the result of that, as we've been talking about on the highest of level, is that Atzilus becomes dynamic. Atzilus becomes dynamic through the union of that of when Malchus ascends to its Shirish, which takes on the form of Dibor, of that vibration, and becomes one with the speaker, so to speak, then that becomes an experience of becoming dynamic, of complete Hischadshus. On the deep level, that's what we're going to, this is going to be Negea soon, what we're going to see this, is that the result of that is that even Atzilus becomes an aspect of Ein Sof. I know I'm saying words that don't have much meaning, but it's kedai just to hear the words. And then Rav Nachman, again, this whole Torah is bringing it down l'maisa to a person. But again, in the hierarchy of the universes of in Elikus, so there's, you know, it breaks down into three madrigas, we can say. The first revelation of Elikus is Ein Sof, mamish infinite. But that's, you know, then the Arizal says there was a tzimtzum, there was a constriction to sort of, hide or conceal or whatever lashanis you want to use. It's no longer Ein Sof. And then the first real revelation of Elikus, that's at least something that we experience, that's called Atzilus, that's the Rabbanu Shalom's universe. And then the Rabbanu Shalom said, from Atzilus, Kiviyoch, the Rabbanu Shalom said, Yihi ar, tad sheha aretz, nas adam. And then there became physical universes of Bia, Bri, Yitzir, Nesiyah. So you have these three dimensions. You have Ein Sof, but that's unknowable. And then you have Atzilus, which is the Rabbanu Shalom's universe of Elikus. And then you have Bia, then you have the Malchus, this physical world. What's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is, as we've been talking about, when Bia, the physical universes, are deconstructed, so to speak, and just they become just vibrations within Atzilus. When that takes place, not only does that change not only is that a change in the physical universe, is that they're no longer standalone, physical, separate realities, but they're just the vibration and the movement within Atzilus. It also changes Atzilus. It turns Atzilus into a dynamic state of constantly renewing itself, of the Rabbanu Shalom constantly showing and revealing new sides of himself, like we've been talking about, that sort of vibration does. It, when you have like the mashal that Chazal give to a bowl full of a fragrant oil, that when you shake it, that's when you're able to smell it more. That dynamicism, that constant movement that Atzilus now takes on when Bia ascends and becomes part of it, that's in truth a revelation of Ein Sof. It's a revelation of Ein Sof. Because what does Ein Sof mean? I don't know what it means. It's always changing. It's infinite by its very definition. So here's the amazing quality, is that when Olam Haba, when this reality takes place where Bia ascends to Atzilus, then even Atzilus takes on a new identity, which is just as a kli, just as a vessel, just as an experience of Ein Sof. So it starts in the process of creation as Ein Sof being untouchable, unknowable. The Tzimtzum comes and says, you have no shaychus to Ein Sof, and you start from Atzilus, mm-hmm. and then you have lower universes of Biyah. Olam Haba means when Biyah ascends to Atzilus, and then even Atzilus becomes just an expression and an experience of Ein Sof. That's what Olam Haba means in Kabbalta Gishbrach. And this is, by the way, as I mentioned many times, this is the Shabbos is related to this. Shabbos, which is Me'en Olam Haba, is also this quality, as we've been talking about. Shabbos has this quality of Dibor. That's why, you know, it's brought down in the Shar Kavonis that Arizal, during the 6 days of the week, when he would daven very quietly. He wouldn't raise his voice at all. But on Shabbos, said Reb Chaim Vital, the Arizal would speak more loudly. So you see, the meaning of Shabbos is the meaning of speech, of moving out, of vibration, of movement, of that which is until now static, that which until now is separate, to become part of the speaker. And when that takes place, then that's then even Atzilus becomes an aspect of Ein Sof. I will see soon how this is more related to Shabbos in a moment. We'll see. But anyway, that's what Olam Haba means. And turning that into the person, as Rav Nachman has been explaining to us, bringing that down to a person, to the Nefesh Adam, is that the person also has to go through this process in order to live a life that's Me'en Olam Haba, which means that a person has a certain mahalach, a certain identity, a certain static, you know, just malchus, a certain reality of Biyah, of Briya, Tziyah, and Asiyah, that just they are. And the goal is to reconstruct oneself, to deconstruct oneself, and to become someone that's dynamic, and to become someone that's dynamic, to become someone that's multifaceted, to become someone that's more nuanced, to become someone that he himself doesn't even recognize, but in the best of ways, like not to be b'chinas Ein Sof. That's really what this is about, and the Mahalach of Nachman has taken us on is that this inyan of becoming that type of person starts there's always two paths to it. It could be, you know, a path of least resistance, and it could be a path with resistance. But the path of resistance that we've been talking about is this inyan of the world of a person going through that chaos, that breaking apart that Averis causes, the breaking of the bones, right, as we've been talking about. But then when you're a Malchus, when your universe sort of like is so separate from one's holistic identity, which is Atzilus. In other words, so you have these, you know, so in other words, just like you have these components in the Olamus, where you have Atzilus, which is a universe of oneness, which is chesed-based and chesed-oriented, which is one. Like if you're talking about water related to chesed, which unites and brings together, Atzilus would be related to that. And then you have lower universes of Briya, Tzi, Nasiya, which are separate and made of many parts. Bereshis, Bar, Lakim, the letter Beis means two, not one. And that's the basic ingredient, comprising the universes of Biyah, of Briya Tzinasiya, the separate universe is the made of many parts, is Gevuras. And so just as in the process of Olam Haba, that which is Biyah, separate, is broken down to its basic component, which is just Gevuras. And by doing so, it's able to be realigned healthfully in that world of Atzilus, thus creating a dynamic Atzilus, an Atzilus which is an expression of really Ein Sof, so too it is within the person. A person has a certain identity of one, okay, you are you, who you are, and then you have this side of a person, this other identity, which is the Biyah, the Briya Tzinasiya, the reality which is sort of separate from that inner persona. You know, who we are on the inside, the Nekuda Pnimis, the Nefesh Elokis, you know, we know who we are on the inside, we know the types of people we have to be, but then there's the Nefesh Abahamis, then there's the Olam HaSanefrodim, the worlds of separation, the worlds of Pira, the worlds of Briya Tzinasi, which is built on Gevuris, on different pieces, sort of glued together. And Nebuch, when a person allows the worlds of Briya Tzinasi to go off on their own, then that becomes then the person becomes then the person then that side of himself becomes mamash chaotic and becomes, you know, separated from one's own identity. And when that happens, then things then there's fallout. Then there's nebuch, things that have to be fixed. But in the process of fixing, that's what we've been talking about. The process of fixing is actually a way of getting to Olam Haba, because when the Olamos of Briya Tzinasiya, when they fall apart, then when you put them back together, you can sort of then you can see what they are, what they truly are, and what they truly are is Gvuras, is that sense of multifacetedness, of nuance. And when you're able to sort of reincorporate the root of one's Yetzirah, of one's chaotic part, back into one's holistic self, which is Atzilus, in other words, Biyah, moving back within Atzilus, within the person, in other words, or to translate more down to earth, that we've been talking about, of a person being able to identify the root of one's Yetziharas and one's tendencies in life, and to realize their place in one's healthy personality, and understanding what that results in, and how that shapes who you are, keeping it, framing it within a holistic chesed, atzilostik, you know, identity of an Eved Hashem, then that results in a much deeper person. And that results not just in a deeper person, that results in a mysterious person. It results in a person that when they look in the mirror, they don't even know who they are, but in the best of ways. Sometimes you look in the mirror, you don't know who you are because you can't recognize yourself from negativity. But now we're talking about mamash in a gevaldige way, that you yourself can't identify yourself because you're so nuanced and you're so... And there's so much chedushim pouring out of you constantly. And so this is, again, just as in Olam Haba, Biyah becomes unified with Atzilus. And the way that happens is by Biyah losing its independent identity, but rather just becoming Gevuras, just sort of being, you know, sort of returning to its most basic element, which is just vibration and movement, which is Gevuras and fire, and that becoming unified in that oneness of Atzilus, thus creating a dynamic oneness, a oneness which is always revealing more aspects of itself, Ein Sof. So it is within the person. When a person's universe of Briya Tzinasiya, one's, you know, practical life and, you know, separate life, a life of human, you know, this world, when that falls apart, then now you have the opportunity for it to pick up the pieces in such a way where it's just in its purest, most essential form, which is just thirst and hunger and passion and drive. And those are all beautiful things. Those are things that when they're reincorporated into a holistic self, it results in a nuanced, infinite person. And that's Olam Haba. That's what Olam Haba is, to be able to say about something which until now was Midas Adin, was difficult, was always seen as the source of one's problems, which is Gevuras and the basic ingredients of Biyah, but now to see them as mamish, the source of one's Ein Sofius, of one's infinity. That's all. This is all related to Pesach. The holiness of Pesach is like this. Pesach is a chag of Geula. It's Yontif, where we're moving from Avdus to Cheiros. Avdus to Cheiros doesn't just mean that now we're free. It means that we were... Avdus means that we were stuck. Mitzrayim means to be stuck in that world of Briya Tzinasiya, of the Nefesh HaBahamas, of one's human identity, but in a way that's completely rebellious and chaos and just completely... you know, sort of misaligned and completely separate from one's holistic self, one's true essence of one's atzilus, when Biyah is separate from atzilus. And what happens then is that it becomes terrible, and the person falls into mamish, the lowest places of emptah shari tumah. But when the time of cheres takes place, then what happens? Then it's not the pshat that you leave all that behind. Then all of those difficulties and all of those mistakes are then able to be sort of broken down to its basic component, which is Dibor, which is speech, which is vibration, pure gvuras, which is movement, thus, and then being able to be reincorporated into the self, and resulting in a person that's constantly renewed and constantly fresh and constantly and a mystery even to oneself. That's what we do Pesach night. Pesach night is that what? That we talk. There's a mitzvah saper b'tzis mitzrayim, to talk a lot. We talk a lot. Kolamar b'lasaper is the meshubach. And even if you think you know everything, talk again, because there's always more to know. The whole inyan of, and the specifically the Agadah L'Bincha, to speak to the children, you see, this dynamic is a similar thing. The parent would be Bechinas Atzilus, and the Dalet Banim, the four children, all separate, all different types, that would be the inyan of Gevuras, the inyan of the separate worlds of Biyah. And so the Avdas, the Golas of Mitzrayim means the disconnect between the parent and the child. And when the parent, which is that oneness, that inner self of Nefesh Elokis, is separate from the you know, multifaceted and separate self, which is Briya Tzinasiya, the Malchus, the Nefesh of Bahamas, so to speak, the human side of things, then what happens? Then that place of the Nefesh of Bahamas, that place of the human being, becomes mamish in disarray, and the kids are all over the place, right? So those that are blessed to have a Seder with little children, everyone knows that the Ikar Nisayon of Seder night is to keep everyone, you know, because that's not a mikra, it's not a coincidence. Nothing is a coincidence, specifically by Pesach. The avoid of trying to keep the kids engaged, trying to keep them in place. That's mamish the site of that's the site of Olam Haba. That's the site of Cheiros, of trying to reabsorb the dynamicism, the multifacetedness of the children, the Chacham, the Tom, the Shein Delishol, the Russian, sort of reincorporating that into the parent, who until now has been like sort of two-dimensional. But now when you bring all the children into that, then the result of that is V'chalamar b'lasabariz m'shuvach. You keep on going, keep on talking, and you don't even know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point of where the end of the Seder, you're so, you've become so mysterious, you've become so sort of unknown, that you have to start all over again. What's the first thing you learn as a kid? Numbers. Like, all of a sudden, at the Seder, I have to relearn, not like, because your mom is starting over. That's why Pesach leads into Sfiras Omer. What's Sfiras Omer? Every single day new. Every single day new. Every single day new. And whatever I was kind of Pesach night, I'm renewing and relearning during Sfiras Omer. That's why Pesach is called Shabbos, right? Machas Shabbos. Sfiras Omer is described as this. We start Sfiras Omer the day after Shabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos. Shabbos is men olam haba, this process. And so too, Pesach is this idea of again, the children becoming reconnected to the parent being reconnected to the child, and that results in not just like Shalom, that results in a mysterious, in an unknown person, in a person that's Bechinas Ein Tzav, a person that's constantly renewed. That's what Gula Shlema looks like, right? The last Nevuah that we had from a proper Navi, from a real Navi, was Navi Malachi. What's the last pasuk in Malachi? That he and Enoch Shlech Lechem Esel Yehanavi, that Mashiach is going to come with Eli Navi, Veishalev Ovesel Banim, and Gula is described in such a thing where parents and children are becoming reunited. Again, parent means Atzilos, that unified, holistic self, Chesed, water. The child means Gevuras, it means a separate universe made of multifaceted with their own opinions, their own identity, and when those two things are disconnected, then Atzilos becomes boring, right? And children become rebellious. That's what happens when the two things are separated. But what's Olam Haba? What's Mashiach? What does Cheiros mean? Cheiros means when the multifacetedness, separateness, kviyachal, whatever, of the children are unified with the static boringness of the parent. That results in a holistic person that sort of has a unified mission in life, but with constant change and constant movement, and that's exactly what we're talking about. And all of this, like Rav Nachman said, is as a result of his hiskashrus to Nishmas Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is Bechinas Chachma, and as we're talking about, Chachma is that you know, sort of mida that bridges Ein Sof, that which is unknown, to that which is very, very separate and practical. Chachma is that linchpin. It says in Pasuk, Chachma mi'ayin timatzeh. Chachma comes from nothing. So the fact that it chachma mi ayin timatze means that, and from there, what's the midah after chachma? Bina. What does bina mean? Maven davar mitaych davar. Bina means like the lashon of bina, to build. Bina means the beginning of that which is separate. So you have ayin, which is ein saif, right? And then you have bina, which is separate reality, you know, gvura. The Zohar Kodesh says, bina dinin misar minam, this adin, which is gvura, fire, comes from bina. And so what bridges the two? What bridges the two is chachma. So chachma is that quality of being able to reabsorb that which is separate, the world, the olamas hatachtonim, the lower worlds of bina, the child, into the parent, thus creating a dynamic state of where the parent himself is just an expression of ayin, of nothingness. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, has these two qualities. The Torah that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously, it cannot be changed. You can't, Torah Shebaal Peh is unique, right? Torah Shebaal Peh you can keep on adding. But Taras Moshe, even Nevi'im, theoretically, could have been added, right? If Nevuah didn't end, then maybe there would have been more Sefer Tanakh. But Chumash Taras Moshe, Chumisha Chumash Torah, is on, it's Munachas B'Keren Zavis, it's untouchable. But yet Chazal say, Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Asa L'Chadesh, every possible Chiddush was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leka Midid L'Ramizu V'Raya, so there's nothing in Torah in the world which is always constantly being renewed that's not hinted to in Chumash. So Taras Moshe is itself this expression of something which is static, but at the same time, constantly able to be renewed, Akadekach, that you can't even identify, like, that when you read a pasuk chumash, like anyone that has any sensitivity, like I don't know what this story, like it's the word is black and white. Every word is you know it's right there, but it's completely a mystery. That's Taras Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole name is a mystery. A name is supposed to identify the person. Moshe Rabbeinu had many names, Tovia, Vehu, right? But what's Moshe Rabbeinu's name that we call him is Moshe. Moshe is a name that just describes what happened to him. But like, who is he? That's what you. So he is his name, like he's Moshe, but the word Moshe means I don't know who he is. Like it just means that he was taken out of the water. Yeah, but who was taken out of the water? I'm not sure. And that's his name.
That makes it more mysterious.
That's why Moshe's ain't safe. That's exactly the point. He's a cheftz of safe, but not a mystery that's uncomfortable. Adraba, in the best of ways, a mechadesh, someone that's constantly being mechadish. That's what it is. That's why we don't, you know, one of the famous questions is we don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name in the Haggadah. By the way, I didn't mention this, but Eli Kotner pointed out yesterday, I mean, you know, not consciously, but it took, you know, that I pulled it out of him, though, but that one of the differences also in the Haggadah, like I was talking about yesterday, between the Haggadah of Golos versus Haggadah with Korban Pesach, is the Haggadah of Golos doesn't mention Moshe's name. But the Haggadah with the Korban Pesach, the Rambam says Mefurish, that the mitzvah is to speak about the Nisim and the Nefilois that we experienced on Pesach, Ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. So with Korban Pesach, you mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Because again, Moshe Rabbeinu means Cheres Olam. When Pesach is seen as a window into eternal freedom, which is Gula Shleima, which is Olam Haba, then you need to be Miskasha to Moshe Rabbeinu. They need to be Miskasha to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what we've been talking about. Now, okay, and that's just for a few minutes. Until now, what we've seen is that the way of Hiskashras to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rav Nachman has been describing, is through Vidui Dvarim, right? To sort of like just put yourself back together in the presence of the Talmud Chacham, through the Talmud Chacham, that was the Inyan. Rav Nachman now really, for the rest of the piece, which is not that long, happens to be just, you know, a little bit, and then he uses everything that he's been saying to explain a ma'aseh with Rav Rechana, and to go back to the original pasuk in Chumash, which, by the way, was Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. That's the saying. It's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. That's why, again, we'll see it ourselves, but even right now we have enough to understand. Anoichi, you know, the Sfarim ask a question: why does it say Anoichi Hashem Elokecha? Why not Ani? The normal way to say how you say Ayin, he was Ani. So it's Anoichi. What's the added Chaf? So it's like this is sort of who I am. Chaf means chafadim. It means like ken, like somewhat like this. Bechinas ani, right? What do you mean? Anoicha shem lekecha, introducing yourself. So say who you are. The answer is Asher tzicha meretz Mitzrayim. Because you went out of Mitzrayim. Again, Mitzrayim avdus. The gullus means disconnect between parent and child. Right? Biyah being separate from Atzilus. When Biyah is separate from Atzilus, then Biyah, the lower universe, has become mamish chaotic and full into Memtei Shari Toma, and then Atzilus becomes static. So you can identify what it is, but it's born. Once there's Chayrus, what does Chayrus mean? It means that Biyah becomes reunited with Atzilus. It's broken down to its basic component, which is passion and drive and craving, whatever all these inyanim are, and then they become unified in the person, and then the person becomes a mystery even to themselves. So Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. It's like, this is kind of who I am. But who am I? Bemis, you can't know because I'm Bechina Sein Tzayv. So the deepest thing that the Rebbeinu Shem can say is Anoichi. Because Anoichi is saying, this is who I am, but with that added chav, it's saying that who I am, which is Atzilus, is really an expression of that which you can't know, which is Ein Tzayf. That's why it's with the letter Chav. The letter Chav is also the beginning of the word Keser. In this dynamic, so it's good to know. Keser is always the code for Ein Tzayf. That which the Keser is on top of the head. It's not part of your body. If you're a king, it's not part of your body. It's on top of your body. It's that which is mysterious. The definition of a melech is that which is, like the whole inning of Malchus is a revelation of I don't know, of like above me, beyond me. In other words, in Chabad Chassidus, you find this a lot of the Mamarim from the Rebbes are revolving on this Nakud, especially by the Mitla Rebbe, that the inning of Malchus, the inning of kingship, when kingship is a revelation, as the king appears, and the king is like something, that there is something brought to the table by the king. But what is brought to the table is a sense of transcendence, is a sense of unknown, a sense of mystery. That's what the king is supposed to bring to the people, is a sense that they don't know who he is. But that's a zach. That's a revelation. That's not just a lack. Like, I don't know who a guy is because I never met him. But a king is supposed to be known, but what he's bringing, what he's revealing, is the fact that he's unknown. So the king, which is represented by the crown, is the union of Keser, that which is transcendent. That's why it's a letter Chav, which is like, sort of like, something like, that's why it's very definition, unknown.
What's the union of the Chav of is in the middle of the word?
Is in the middle, where that's the idea, because the identity is Atzilus. Our only Hiskashrus is with Atzilus, but within Atzilus, what's being revealed through Atzilus is that Keser. But that Keser is revealed only what? Only through Malchus. Malchus is, again, the lowest universes of Biyah. When Biyah ascend into Atzilus, then what's able to then be revealed is the Keser. And that's the story, again, that's that. And all of this is Anoich Hashem Elokecha, why? Asher Tzichah, Meretz Mitzrayim. So everyone asks the question, why, if Hashem is identifying himself, say something greater, say that I created heaven and earth. The answer is, if Hashem was just saying that he's the creator, then it would be Ani Hashem Elokecha. Asher Brasi Shmaim Varetz. But for it to be Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, right? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, then it has to be Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Because that inin of Cheiris Oilam, which is Me'en Oilam Hava, is this inin. That's why by the experience of Har Sinai, there was this constant renewal of the Jewish people. They kept on dying and being brought back to life. Dying, brought back to life. What type of trick is that? Hashem knows they're going to, so keep them alive. The answer is no. That's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha within the person. Anoich Hashem Elokecha within the person is constantly dying and being brought back to life. No, it's not like being renewed. Not just dying, but they weren't. When they were brought back to life, it's not like they were sleeping. They were mamash yesh me'ayin. Chachma me'ayin timotze. Like mamash from nothing. Like being brought back to life and being constantly renewed and constantly nischadish. And that's exactly what the Har Sinai was, all coming from the experience of Pesach. That's the Vayda Pesach. Where are we holding over here? Anyway, yeah, Ches. Oh, so I was saying like this. So Rav Nachman until now has been explaining to us how this is Hiskashrus to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Bechina of Chachma, to the Talmud Chacham, right? That's why, by the way, he's been using that Lashon of Talmud Chacham. Say the word Tzaddik. Rav Nachman is not shy to use the word Tzaddik. Like, why Talmud Chacham? The answer is he's hinting to this side, which is that it's not just it's a Tzaddik, yeah, but it's a Tzaddik who's Miskasher to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Bechines Chachma. So it's a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham. Who's also a Tzaddik, obviously. A Moshe Rabbeinu think a Talmud Chacham. But that's why he keeps on using the term Talmud Chacham. But anyway, the Hiskashrus Rav Nachman has been describing until now has been one of Vidui Dvarim. But now Rav Nachman sort of backtracks and explains that the truth is, in this process of Hiskashras to this Talmud Chacham, to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's actually previous steps that will help a person lead into that Madrega of Vidui Dvarim in front of a Talmud Chacham. Vidui Dvarim and others, Vidui Dvarim in front of a Talmud Chacham is the highest level of becoming a mystery even to oneself. And as everything we've been talking about of Bia ascending into Atzilus, and then Atzilus becoming, you know, sort of this dynamic, mysterious expression of Ein Sof, that last step of Atzilus becoming an expression of Ein Sof in the person is achieved by Vidui Dvarim in front of a Talmud Chacham. Vidui Dvarim in front of the Talmud Chacham results in a person discovering one's always unending and unfolding shlichus. As Reb Nachman is going to say, when a person experiences this level of iskashus with a Moshe Rabbeinu Dikat Tzadik, then it's not just that you put yourself back together, it's that you discover how mysterious you are and how many different layers of self you have, to the point of where you yourself don't know. Now, is that the highest level of where you become mamish a vessel of Ein Sof? But there are steps to get there. There are lower madregas in this, you know, sort of, even when Bia is becoming unified with Atzilus, you know, and sort of the chaos of a person's life is being reabsorbed into that healthy self, you know, the climax of that, the perfection of that is where you become a Moshe Rabbeinu, where you're just a mystery even to yourself, and you're just constantly like an overwhelming spring of Chiddush. But within that process, there's different stages, there's different madrigas. So the highest level is becoming that wellspring of Chiddush, which is achieved by Vidui Dvarim, by talking about your life and sort of reconstructing yourself in the presence of a Talmud Chacham. But there are madrigas before then, and that's what Reb Nachman is going to be discussing right now, the next couple oisias. So as an introduction, this whole thing was an introduction, I guess, but as an introduction to this next Nakuda, so it's based on a Gemara in Saita. So I'll read you the Gemara. He only quotes a couple lines of it, so I'll just read it to you. You don't have this in front of you, but it's a Gemara in Saita, the Chaf Aleph and Mid Aleph. It's a whole long drasha, but it's based on, the Gemara says, Darash Rav Menachem Rav Yaisi, Kiner Mitzvah Torah Ar. That's the pasuk, Kiner Mitzvah Torah Ar. So the Gemara, and then the pasuk also says, "Balechcha tancha islech." It's a famous pasuk from, you know, we say it by Yassim, that "Balechcha tancha islech." That as you go, the Torah Ar, Neremitz the Torah Ar, will sort of guide you along. So what does this mean that the Torah is compared to Torah candles and so on, and going in this way? So Rav Nachman Rabbi Yossi said, "Moshel la'adam." So again, you don't have this in front of you. I mean, he has a few lines of it, but the whole version is like this: Mashal Adam Shayim Malach B'Ishan Laila Va'Feila. It's a mashal to a person who's walking in darkness, and in a you know, sort of the wilderness at night. Umisyare, and he's afraid of many things. What is he afraid of? He's afraid of four things. He's afraid of Menakaitzim. He's afraid of thorns bumping into thorn bushes. Umenapchasim. He's afraid of like a pit or a hole in the ground that he can stumble into, or like a rock he could trip over. Umen Habarkanim. And he's afraid of barkanim. Also, different types of there's chasim and barkanim is like pits and rocks and other things that he can trip over. So those are that's what he's afraid of. Umichayiro, also from wild animals, menelistim, and from ganavim. So these are the four things that he's afraid of. He's afraid of thorns. He's afraid of a rock and a hole in the ground and so on. And he's afraid of animals and he's afraid of listim. All these things. Then you day derech malach, and he also doesn't know where he's going. So it's besides that he's afraid of, he also doesn't know where he's going. So nizdam nalevukos shalars. So said that Reb Nachman Biyasi, if a torch comes his way, oh, so nitzel min hakaitzim umin apchasim. So now he's safe from thorns. He's not going to bump into a bush and he's not going to trip on a rock or something like that. But he's still afraid of animals and robbers. A torch is not going to help that. And he also doesn't know where he's going. So then what happens? Then the sun rises. Oh, so now not only is he safe from bumping into things, but now he's not worried about animals anymore. We're from Ganovim, because now it's daylight. But he still doesn't know where he's going. Once he gets to the highway, Oh, he sees like a main road, needs some lukula. Then he's safe. So Rav Nachman, we don't have time to go into this, but we're gonna. I guess after Yontif we'll pick up on this. Rav Nachman is gonna. Rav Nachman sees in this Gemara this whole inyan of a person discovering himself, of getting to that place of being just a bechin of Ein Saif, of being able to say this is what I'm here for. Again, this is also again this is a very, very big inyan. The Moshe Rabbeinu type. So what do you do when you're, so let's put it this way, like, what do you do when you look in the mirror, you don't know who you are? But not because of that thing, from a good place. Like, I don't know who I am because I'm like full of, so then what? So then you become Moshe Rabbeinu and you shift gears and you say, you know what? I don't really care to know who I am. I need to know what I'm needed for. Where am I going? What's my tachlis? What am I supposed to be doing right now? Who I am? I'm never going to know who I am. Why? Because because this Bechinas Ein Saif. So therefore, I'm not gonna try to figure that out. That's not my avodah. What's my avodah? Who could I help? What could I do? What could I bring to the world? Moshe Rabbeinu could have spent his whole life, going to therapy to try to figure out like who am I. But that's not Moshe Rabbeinu's thing. Why? Because not only is it like okay, because you know, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's gonna sit on the couch and talk like he's not gonna do that. But deeper than that, it's a good question. And it would take a lot of investigation, but it's not the point. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know who he is coming from a good place, not a bad place. Like when you think of like, oh, finally, you know, then yeah, like, you know, the therapist of the world will try to convince you have to know who you are because otherwise you're not a healthy person. If you don't know who you are because the child has been separate from the parent and the child is just running amok and going crazy and like, oh, you're my best friend because you have a green, a green lollipop. Oh, you're my best friend because you have a purple lollipop. So then, yeah, then you don't know who you are because you're full of chaos. So go for therapy. But if you don't know who you are because you're Bechinas Moshe Rabbeinu and it's like, I don't know who I am, but from a good place, from an Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, then you're never going to figure that out. Then stop trying. What's the avoid? The avoid is the Aseres HaDibros. This is what you need to do. Hashem didn't say, I'm not sure who I am, so let me just talk it over. Let's figure it out together. No, it's like, I don't know who I am either, said the Rebbeinu Kiviyachol Ein Saif, but this is what we do. Leisisa, all the Aseres HaDibros. And so the Ikar Avoid, when a person reaches that level of Bechinas Ein Saif, so to speak, of Anoich Hashem Lekecha, is just this is what I need to do. That's described as the path. We're going to see that. That's the mushal of like discovering the highway. The highway means I'm going. I'm doing something. Like if a person's on the road, obviously it's for a read. Like what else? You know, I'm doing this for nothing. Now there's an inyan of like a road trip. But that's in times of Chazal there's no such inyan. If you're on the road, it's because you need to get somewhere. You need to do something. So like the highest level of self identity. That's the site of it. The highest level of self identity. Is to be able to say, I don't know who I am, but I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. That's the highest madrig. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know who he was, but he knew what he needed to do in life. And that became his identity. That's ultimate bittul. That's knowing who you are at the same time as not knowing. Okay, all of this is a hachana for we're going to see Bez Hashem, I guess, after Yontif. But that's the site of Pesach. Again, Echad Miyadeh, all these things. That Pesach is this inyan of not being able to necessarily say who I am, but I know what I need to do. I know what my tachlis is. I know what my shlichus is. I know that this world needs me, and that's an echad. It's all in. Tanaych Hashem Alkecha. Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Huh? 100%. And when a person knows that, that's
the seder.
Yes.